So the Bible is the best interpreter of the Bible, and it clearly, unequivocally, without a doubt, for anyone who does not want to be a deceiver, and that's just the truth, tells us what a thorn in the flesh is, if they care. And anybody teaching the Bible ought to study the Bible. The term a thorn in the flesh is used 4 times in the Old Testament. Paul was a devout student of the Old Testament, like Jesus. 4 times it's found in the Old Testament. The term is a figure of speech. It was used by God in the Old Testament. It's a figure of speech that God used throughout the Old Testament. Never of sickness, but always of Gentiles who caused all kinds of trouble for the Jews. And they were Gentiles controlled by the devil. If you're not controlled by God, you're controlled by the devil. There's only 2 forces in the world. So, a thorn in the flesh was a common expression. In fact, we still have that expression with a few modifications in today's English. We say a pain in the butt, a pain in the neck, or just that person's a pain, or a burr under my saddle. If we lived in Israel today, we could say the Palestinians are a thorn in our flesh. We could say the Syrians are a thorn in our flesh. We could say the Iranians are a thorn in our flesh. We could say the Iraqis are a thorn in our flesh. And they are. And they would like to be a thorn in your flesh. So let's look at these 4 examples in the Old Testament that unequivocally tell us what was meant by a thorn in the flesh. Now, the first one is the most important. So I want you to note here 2 things. The word you and thorn. Numbers chapter 33, verse 50. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plains of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, they're right up there to the Jordan River. The promised land is over there. And of course, Moses, he's not going in. Now the Lord spoke to Moses in the plain of Moab by the Jordan across from Jericho, saying, speak to the children of Israel. He said, Moses, give this message to the children of Israel and say to them, when you have crossed the Jordan into the land of Canaan, then you shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones. That means you. Then it says, destroy all their molded images. That means you. Use unspoken here. You demolish all their high places. So these ites were demon worshipers. You shall drive out all the inhabitants of the land from before you. Destroy all their engraved stones. You destroy all their molded images. You demolish all their high places. And you dispossess the inhabitants of the land and dwell in it. For I have given you the land to possess. And you shall divide the land by lot as an inheritance among your families. And to the larger you shall give a larger inheritance, and to the smaller you shall give a smaller inheritance. There everyone's inheritance shall be whatever falls to him by lot. You shall inherit according to the tribes of your fathers. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants, then ask me and I will. No, God's not going to do it. He told them to do it. He said, I'll help you, but you got to do it. You don't go, I don't go. You don't do, I don't do. But if you do not drive out the inhabitants of the land from before you, then it shall be that those whom you let remain shall be irritants, one translation says. Another says pricks. Another says thorns. Another says barbs in your eyes. And thorns in your sides. Well, that certainly is thorn in the flesh, isn't it? Unless they had glass eyes. Thorns in your eyes and thorns in your sides, and they shall harass you, buffet you. In the land where you dwell, that word Harass is translated vex, distress, trouble, afflict, besiege. Be an adversary. Be an enemy. So God said, if you don't drive out those people over there, you're going to regret it. They're going to vex you, and there'll be thorns in your sides and thorns in your eyes. Joshua 23. Joshua now is dying. Moses was about to die when he spoke. Now Joshua is about to die. Joshua chapter 23, verse 1. Now it came to pass a long time after the Lord had given rest to Israel from all their enemies round about, that Joshua was old, advanced in age. And Joshua called for all Israel, for the elders, for their heads, and for their judges and their officers, and said to them, I'm old and advanced in age. You have seen all that the Lord your God has done to all these nations because of you. For the Lord your God is he who has fought for you with them as they fought. See, I have divided to you by lot those nations that remain. See, they had not drawn them all out. There were still nations that remained. I've divided to you lots by these nations that remain to be the inheritance for your tribe. From the Jordan and with all the nations that I've cut off as far as the great sea westward. And the Lord your God will expel them before you as you expel them. And drive them out of your sight. For you shall possess their land as the Lord your God has promised. Now notice, they'd had quite a few years, but they hadn't possessed their possessions yet. In fact, they never did possess all the land, even under David. They got satisfied. A lot of people are satisfied just, you know, well, this medicine will, you know, I can just take this medicine. I get insurance at work. You know, I don't need to be healed. Amen. Therefore, be very courageous to keep and to do all that is written in the book of the law of Moses, lest you turn aside from it to your left hand or to your right. But you shall hold fast to the Lord your God as you have done to this day, for the Lord has driven out from before you the great and strong nations. But as for you, no one has been able to stand against you to this day. One man of you shall chase 1,000, for the Lord your God is he who fights for you and has promised you. Therefore, take diligent heed to yourselves that you love the Lord your God, or else, if indeed you go back and cling to the remnant of these nations that remain among you, and make marriages with them, or go into them, and they to you, know for certain, that the Lord your God will no longer drive out these nations from before you. See, they couldn't do it alone, and God won't do it without them. But they shall be snares, who? These nations, these people. They shall be snares and traps to you, and scourges on your sides, and thorns in your eyes, until you perish from this good land which the Lord your God has given you. Now you can see that thorns in your eyes and scourges, that's a figure of speech. They didn't have Canaanites sticking out of their eyes, right? Judges chapter 1, right after Joshua. In fact, it starts out, Joshua chapter 1, verse 1. Now after the death of Joshua, it came to pass that the children of Israel asked the Lord, saying, who shall be first to go up for us against the Canaanites to fight against them? And the Lord said, Judah shall go up. Indeed, I have delivered the land into his hand. Now let's jump down to verse 27. However, Manasseh, these are the different tribes, Manasseh did not drive out the inhabitants of Beth Shean and its villages, or Tanakh and its villages, or the inhabitants of Dor and its villages, or the inhabitants of Iblim and its villages, or the inhabitants of Megiddo and its villages. For the Canaanites were determined to dwell in the land. Oh, well then, that's okay. We better not mess with them if they're determined. You know, the devil is determined. Sickness is determined to attack you. Sickness is determined. You got to fight the good fight of faith. Well, you know, they were determined, so let's just compromise. Let's reach an agreement. And it came to pass when Israel was strong that they put the Canaanites under tribute. That wasn't what God told them to do, but did not completely drive them out, nor did Ephraim drive out the Canaanites, verse 30, nor did Zebulun, nor did Asher, nor did Naphtali. Well, there's only 12 tribes. Quite a few of them didn't. Verse 34 is kind of interesting. And the Amorites, not only didn't Dan drive out the Amorites drove out Dan. Well, that ain't supposed to happen. And the Amorites forced the children of Dan into the mountains and would not let them come down to the valley. And the Amorites were determined to dwell in Mount Hares. Jump to chapter 2, verse 1. Then the angel of the Lord came up from Gilgal to Bochim and said, I led you up from Egypt and brought you into the land which I swore to your fathers. And I said, I will never break my covenant with you. And you shall make no covenant with the inhabitants of this land. You shall tear down their altars. But you have not obeyed my voice. Why have you done this? Therefore I also said, I will not drive them out from before you, but they shall be thorns in your sides, and their God shall be a snare to you. And so it was, when the angel of the Lord spoke these words to all the children of Israel, that the people lifted up their voice and wept. And guess what? It's too late. They missed the day of their visitation. Ezekiel chapter 28, verse 1, the word of the Lord came to me, saying, let's jump over to what he had to say to Sidon, verse 22. The word of the Lord came to me concerning Sidon. It says, thus says the Lord God, behold, I'm against you, O Sidon. I will be glorified in your midst, and they shall know that I am the Lord when I execute judgments in her and am hallowed in her, and there shall no longer be a prickling briar or a painful thorn for the house of Israel from among all who are around them, who despise them. Then they shall know that I am the Lord God. So any teacher who honestly wants to know what a thorn is, not almost certainly it was sickness, that's dishonest. It was probably a headache or malaria, that's dishonest. God was pleased to appoint it, that's dishonest. All those interpretations are dishonest. They're dishonest. For any teacher who honestly, seriously wants to know what a thorn in the flesh is, it's easy to discover. Amen? It's easy to discover it. Now, you can understand where a lot of people might not, but people teaching the Bible, if they wanted to know, it would be easy to discover. So this messenger of Satan was being a thorn in Paul's side by stirring up trouble everywhere he went. What kind of trouble did Paul have? Well, a lot more serious than a headache. I'll tell you that.